case number 10,434, Flexera Inc., east of Route 16, east of South Bay Shore Drive, being lot 31 and half of lot 30, block A, section 2, within Old Inlet Beach, a special exception to place a windmill and a variance from the side yard setback requirement.
State your name for the record.
I'm sorry?
State your names for the record.
Okay, my name is Robert Light with Flexera.
And McCabe with Flexera as well.
And we're here to ask for a variance on a pre-existing, approval for use on a system that we already asked for approval for in months ago. We are a company dealing with new technologies, and given the new technologies, we have to assess their effectiveness and any type of negative operation of those devices. Installed these windmills on a couple buildings and found that when the air brakes come out, it resonates some vibration, which then transfers through those buildings. In this case, the Keynes residence, that vibration was minimized using, additional support in the attic, as well as isolators between the roof and the windmill itself. But still, there was some resonating vibration that we were not comfortable with within the structure. So we were we made the decision that that's not a good long-term situation for this windmill. And all the other windmills have made their way to the poles. We've been before you numerous times, and one of the concerns that we had was placing this in the setback. And actually, we were looking at this as, for quite a while, and as well as looking at other locations. So I made a call to the building and zoning last October to ask if there was any issues with placing a pole in the setback. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, they came back and stated that that there was nothing in the regulations to prevent that. What I neglected personally was that the actual exception was for a roof mount and did not include a pole mount. So that was my error. I did, as I said, look at the setbacks, but neglected to see what the wording of that that approval was. So I stand before you asking permission to place this on a tower next to the Keynes residence. Now, we made application to and was approved by DENREC to do this. And they basically say that we have no detrimental effect on the shore or adjacent properties from their perspective of, erosion or any effects on the beach, that sort of thing. If you go back to the third page, you actually see a windmill that's mounted on a pole, which is a composite pole, rated for, the pole itself is rated for something in the neighborhood of 180 miles an hour in that neighborhood. And it's 18%, the load of the windmill is 18% of the strength of the pole. So it's very well undersized. And the pole is actually installed. That was our error. We installed it without, it didn't occur to us that we needed to come for another variance. So that was my mistake, my responsibility. That's set in a 12-foot corrugated steel, 3-inch in diameter piling that was driven down, or a piece of pipe basically, driven down, pumped out, and is actually 10 and a half feet below grade. And with an engineering sign-off. That's 3 foot of concrete, 10 and a half foot in the ground to sustain this pole. As I said, utility poles that are 60 foot are typically placed in the ground about 8 feet. So, so you can see the safety factor that we have in that. Now, one of the issues that we've ran into the last time we were here was an individual had written a letter in opposition, and that it took away from the views of the neighborhood. So the first views I want to show you, which I believe, and I could be wrong, are pictures of blocks that were installed by that individual. And I think we have these to pass around.
Yeah, I've got a big one circulating already.
And you can see that it adds an awful lot of aesthetic appeal to the properties. Mm-hmm. And they're painted block, you know, concrete blocks. Second, there's other properties. The top picture we have in the bundle is of the Keene's residence, showing photovoltaic panels, hot water panels, and a windmill. And it shows the pole where the windmill would be installed on if we're fortunate enough to gain your approval. Throughout the neighborhood, there are towers everywhere that hold antennas. We have a picture of a mobile home that has actually a telephone pole behind it, and we didn't get the whole telephone pole. And we have pictures of mobile homes on pilings. There's actually a short sky stream on pilings that doesn't have any windows in it. So, you know, I just, as far as the aesthetics of the neighborhood, I think this is actually adding to that. Now, as far as utility use of the property, we have letters of approval from the neighbors on both sides and in and around this neighborhood. I believe there's 13, and there may be some mail-ins, I'm not sure. But they're all for approval. It seems like it's something that neighbors like to stand and talk about. So really, as far as affecting the utility use of any neighboring property, it has really zero effect on it. It's installed with significant safety factors in mind. And again, the same noise, which this actually runs under normal, you know, 5 to 10 decibels. Sometimes at higher winds, when the air brakes come out, at first it may produce a little bit higher than that, but it's still not anywhere near a sky stream even.
You say 5 to 10 decibels?
Mm-hmm.
Less than a whisper?
Yes. Yep. Except when you get into some types of winds, you could go up to maybe in the 20 range.
And typically, what's the ambient sound or decibel rating of that type of wind?
Well, you have trouble distinguishing that between that and the wind, very much so. There could be some, there has been some ticking in the generators, but that's being solved right now. Generators are being changed out. Otherwise, that's the noise that it makes. The next page behind it is a sign off. You can see it's for Keene residents. We had the foundation engineered and approved. And they were actually very pleased with the way it turned out. And then we have the Winterra data, which gives you all the specifications of the windmill itself. Again, we feel that it's a very good application for wind. They're right on the Delaware Bay. So the wind resource is great. It's been well received by the neighborhood, as far as we know. We're not aware of any significant opposition to it, maybe one or two people. I've been surprised before. But we do certainly have a lot of people for this. And I think, you know, it's really a good install. So I believe that's probably all I need, and I can open up to any questions.
Is that one solid pole?
No, it is hollow, and it is composite.
There are two sections, and they're strapped in resin together as per manufacturer specs to sustain wind loads of, as we said, I believe up to 160 miles an hour.
60, yeah, somewhere in that area. The poles are also rated per the load. You know, you're given a percent of capacity, and we were given Yeah, 18% of the total capacity of the pole. These are used for utility poles for hanging, you know, transformers and wires and that sort of thing throughout the country.
The same sections of these poles that we use would be the upper section on utility poles as high as 135 feet high.
Yeah, we have a very large base. And the life of these poles seems to be around 150 years. I'll be fishing every day then. So.
What's the height, total height from the ground up to the top?
It's around 40.
I believe we went actually just under 30 feet with the height of the pole in this turbine. And the turbine itself is 8 feet.
Yeah, so max it'll be somewhere around 40. It's going to be basically, I'm not sure. I thought that was closer to 40 foot. It's no more than 45 foot. The windmill itself, if you look at the Keene's picture, which is the top of the three, basically the windmill is going to be at the same height, very similar height. It may be a foot taller, but it's going to be, we made it so that it was a very similar height so that it wouldn't be affected by buildings around it, and we wouldn't be changing that aesthetics from the building that much.
One more question. On the other case we have, is that a solid pole?
No, we've never had a solid pole.
No, I mean one extension. I mean, it was two poles on top of each other?
Yes.
The other one was two?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The poles we've used in the past were steel, designed for the sky streams.
They're galvanized, hollow.
Galvanized, hollow, but there's two poles together to get the height of it.
Okay, this pole has sections.
Okay.
And those are actually pulled together using come-alongs, and then they're screwed, you know, epoxied and screwed. The sky streams, they're just the whole pole.
There's two different models of them. There is one entire pole, and there's one two-section as well for the
weight.
Sky streams.
Yeah. Is that what it is, because of weight?
And shipping.
Yeah.
These ship a whole lot cheaper than the solid poles.
Okay.
And in fact, the new SkyStream poles come in three sections. And we just received in two poles for inland bays. Those are galvanized.
Oh, okay.
And that's the picture of the foundation that was on the Nantucket's application.
Okay.
And the SkyStreams are the horizontal versus this vertical. Okay.
Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we also they submitted 13 letters in favor of.
13 letters in favor and 7 here in support this evening. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? 1, 2. Okay, would you both please come forward and be sworn in? You can see I'm right up front there, if you like.
Evening. Address. Lewis.
Come on around to share. Name and address?
Linda Madrid. I own the lot across the street.
Okay. What's your address?
It's an unimproved lot at the moment.
Okay. Just give me a mailing address.
South Bear Shore Drive.
Okay. Do you both swear or affirm this testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Sam Burke, and I represent the owners of the beach in front of property, the subject property, and I'm the person that hears the complaints from people, bird watchers and beach walkers and people lying on the beach about the noise of that this windmill makes. I also wrote a letter in opposition to the last application expressing the thought that this would happen. It was determined that it wouldn't happen and it was approved. And now we're here again before you, or they're here again before you, because it did happen. It made a lot of noise and it was literally shaking the house apart. I'm talking about a lot of noise. On its face, this application that you have today seems like a pro forma approval situation. Who's against windmills? But if you look at the application that was before you, and I looked at the application two or three times as recently as today, I didn't see any engineering reports, and I didn't see any of the information that you have that has been made available to you tonight by the applicant. But the information I had would indicate that there's a lot more to this than just putting up a windmill. For instance, we have an applicant who knows the procedures and knows that you need a special use exception to place a windmill, because he does it all the time. And yet, I never knew about this until the pole was in the ground. Now, I came to the council and I looked at the application. I saw what was being requested. And my first question was, how many windmills does he want on his 75 by 100 piece of property, of land? He's got one on his roof. Now he's going to have one on his house, too. I hope that's been answered tonight by the fact that he's taking the one off his roof. Or at least that's my understanding of what was represented to the board. So there will only be one windmill, if any. But the special use exception is one thing. The variance is another thing. And the application before you was to put a pole. Now, it's my understanding that you can put a pole in the side yard setback of a residence within 5 feet of the property line, but I'm not sure that they mean a 45-foot pole with a 5.5 or 6 foot collar around the bottom of it. I think maybe they were referring to flagpoles and laundry poles and birdhouse poles and poles that you and I would think about at a residence. We're talking about, I still don't have the answer, a very large pole placed in the 5 yard setback of this in this residential area. Now, this rather large pole will be, let's get back to the application for a minute, because my remarks are based on the application, and they are that the application is for a 28-foot pole. The documents that I saw in the file called for at different times a 30-foot pole, possibly a 32.11-inch pole, if you take M3 and M4 and add them together, or a 37.9-inch pole, if you add M4 and M5 together. A part of the application indicated that they were going to add M3, M4, and M5 together and make a 45-foot pole. But we didn't see that in any of the application information that we have in front of us. With the exception of one diagram. Now, this pole is going to be about 2.5 feet or larger in diameter at the bottom. And it's going to need a concrete collar according to the specs supplied to the county that's 5 foot or more or greater in diameter, depending upon the soil types. Your application didn't have any of the soil types mentioned.
Excuse me for a second, and not, no disrespect, Mr. Burke, but did you listen to the testimony the applicant gave?
As well as I could.
Okay, because I believe that they said it was going to be a 3.5-foot diameter concrete foundation. The pole...
Was he talking about the collar? Because that, if that's what he's saying, it's different than what he's proposed. And I don't know what is actually in the ground because it's already in the ground.
And the reason that he put the pole up was that he assumed that the original special use exception allowed for that. As you had suggested earlier that, you know, he should know better.
Are we talking about two windmills or one mill? I still don't know the answer to that for sure.
One windmill, is that as he specified in his testimony? The same height that the original one was placed.
Now, the application calls for and requires a drawing showing the location of this construction on the property. Mm-hmm. There is none. And it's extremely possible. As a matter of fact, it's more than possible. It's for certain that if he built the pole in accordance with the construction diagram that he has submitted to you, he has encroached with his collar on the neighbor's property. Because if he's putting a pole and asking for a variance inside the 5-foot setback requirement, and the pole's as large as it is, with a foundation as large as the diagram says it is supposed to be, he can't possibly build it without encroaching on his neighbor's property. Now, what do I care about his neighbor's property? Well, if his neighbor knows that this title defect is on his property and doesn't care, that's his problem. That's up to him. I certainly don't care. But he should be told that there's an encroachment on his property in the form of the advertisement or in the form of some way before he's asked for permission to approve for approval of this pole. Mm-hmm. Now, this young lady apparently owns a lot across the street from this pole. Chances are good that my family sold her predecessor in interest, or her parents perhaps, that lot. And when they sold her predecessor in interest, that lot, it was told that there would be a 10-foot setback there and a 10-foot setback here, and you would have a 20-foot view of the bay. And that's what that lot has or had until this pole came along. So it does affect the value of other properties in the neighborhood, and it does affect the neighborhood, and it does affect people who like to go to Broadkill Beach to commune with nature, birds, other animals, wildlife. This constant spinning of this windmill is much noisier than a whisper, believe me. And the pole's up. I invite you gentlemen to go up and listen on a nice windy day. Go on up there and listen to this, the racket it makes. And go on up there and look at the pole that's been built.
Excuse me one moment, Mr. Burke. Mr. Isaacs, what is it Mr. Burke suggests that setback is 10-foot and the application suggests it's 5-foot? What is it?
Treat them as 5-foot setbacks.
5-foot, okay, thank you.
Yes, yeah, he wants to build this within the 5-foot setback.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had right. Alluded to the setback was 10-foot, but it's actually 5.
It's 5-foot for a pole. But I'm not sure that 5-foot setback for a pole means that you can build a pole so large that it fills the entire setback. And And that's a problem that I have with this application.
So, Mr. Burke, how do you feel that this request would substantially affect adversely uses of neighboring and adjacent properties?
Well, I'm going to let this young lady who owns property across the street testify to how it's going to substantially affect her.
Okay, well, that's
what we're here. But it substantially affects everybody who walks up and down that beach.
Okay. How is
every time the sun goes past 2 o'clock in the summertime.
Okay.
Or 2 o'clock in the wintertime and maybe 3 o'clock in the summertime, and it casts a shadow on the beach. Especially if it's going to go up 45 feet. And we still don't know for sure how many feet it's going to go up because they have not answered that question yet.
I believe they did in their testimony.
Yeah, you did.
Gentlemen, could you come forward for just a second just to answer that question? You need to come up to the mic. Just answer the question, how many feet
how high the finished is the product pole?
The pole is 45.
40, the pole in the...
At the max, at the base of the pole, at the top base of the pole.
Pole and the,
yeah,
and the
it's
windmill?
It's actually a little bit shorter than that.
The pole and the windmill combined?
The windmill is 8 foot. See, the house itself is about 40 foot.
Okay.
And we made it about, you know, it's about 38, and we made it about a foot higher.
So 53 feet total. Thank you.
And that's the maximum, and it's probably a little bit shorter than that.
Thank you.
The application has 28 feet.
We'd like to come back up also.
Why does the application have 28 foot on it?
I don't understand that either. I know that it was our project engineer that actually wrote the application, and there was a plot plan part of that application showing the location. We did pull a line on the lot. And the foundation is actually at least 2 foot within that setback. It does not encroach at all on the other property. It was signed off by the engineer. I'm not sure what the discrepancy is in the height.
Mrs. Isaacs, the writing on the application appears to be two different handwritings. And,
yes, it looks like it's...
Where it says freestanding pole 28 mm-hmm. feet, would it be your assumption that it's...
That is not the applicant. That looks like it may be Stacy Rogers who took the application.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. We had to make it pretty much the height of the top of his building mm-hmm. so that we could move it over and keep that same relative position.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure the 28 feet come from... Yeah. I hate to tell them that, though.
Yeah, I cannot answer that.
I wouldn't think she just put 28 feet in. Yeah.
I cannot answer that.
So this windmill, in other words, will be about 5 foot higher than the existing windmill? Is that?
Excuse me. We do have an exact figure on that. It is a 45-foot tower.
You have to use the mic.
Oh, it's a 45-foot tower.
It's a 45-foot tower, and it's sunk 10 and a half feet below grade. So it is...
35?
Yeah, so it's 35.
34 and a half.
Yeah.
Plus 8.
That's exactly what it is. I had to ask the installer to apologize for that.
Which would be no different than a roof. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'll be 4 foot higher than the one that was approved.
Okay.
Now, lastly, I want to discuss variances. I'm referring to the code. In order to establish a variance, the applicant must present certain facts. There's been no evidence that there's any exceptional narrowness or shallowness or other unusual characteristics of the size or shape of the property. There's been no testimony as to any exceptional topographic conditions or extraordinary situation or condition of such a piece of property. There's no reason to conclude, there's been no evidence presented, that strict application of the regulations would result in peculiar or exceptional practical difficulties or exceptional hardship to the applicant. He could put it someplace else on his lot. He could put it in his driveway. That wouldn't affect the neighbor's view of the beach. There's been no demonstrable exceptional hardship shown. There has been no evidence of unique physical circumstances or conditions including irregularity, narrowness, or shallowness of yacht lot size or shape. There has been no evidence of exceptional topographic or other physical conditions peculiar to the lot. There's no reason the property can't be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the zoning ordinance. There's no reason the property can't be fully utilized without the variance. The only unnecessary hardship that the applicant has shown is the fact that he's created this himself by placing it on his roof and having that fail. He now wants to move it to the pole. So any unnecessary hardship he has created himself, and the variance, if authorized, will alter the essential character of the neighborhood that this house is located in, and it will actually alter the reasons why Mr. Keene and Mrs. Keene wanted to move to Broad Hill Beach in the first place.
Are you testifying?
And I'm sure if you ask them that, they would tell you that they moved there for peace and quiet. And this will alter that essential character of this neighborhood. Now, lastly, so paragraph 115.211F states that no variance shall be authorized unless the board finds that the condition or situation of the property concerned or the intended use of the property is not of so general or recurring a nature as to make reasonably practical the formation of a general regulation to be adopted as an amendment to the chapter. And that is what this board has done with variances in general. And I'm asking the board not to establish the pattern of permitting them on poles in residential neighborhoods consisting of lots 50 by 100 to 75 by 100 to 100 by 100 in size. And furthermore, I think a survey is in order.
Sir?
Thank you.
Sir, do you have a problem if it's on the roof?
Pardon me?
Do you have a problem with it if it's still on the roof?
I've already expressed my objections to that. I did that in writing for the last hearing.
Yes. I mean,
okay. Yes.
No, it casts on the roof.
It casts a shadow on the beach. There may be areas where it doesn't cast a shadow on the beach, but people go to the beach because they want the sun's rays, and they want the peace and quiet and tranquility of the beach.
If you move it to the front of the house, you still get the shadow.
Pardon me?
If you move it to the front or move it to the back, you still get it. Right, Shannon.
Well, if you ask for a 28-foot pole and then you come in at the last minute and ask for a 45-foot pole, that's probably correct. You're going to get a shadow. But the further you are away from the beach, the less the shadow is going to affect the beach. That's for sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Like Mr. Burke, I have to say it's kind of hard to object to windmills, especially at this time with energy crisis that we have. But I own the property across from this property. It is currently an unimproved piece of property, which actually I think Mr. Hudson asked the question in the prior application, what would happen if someone wanted to build a beach house and get a view? It's exactly why I bought this property. And it has not been improved, but an essential part of the value of this property is being able to see the beach. The Kings, who I don't know, and I just learned their name, but the Kings' property is in itself a very large house. It takes up a great deal of their property appropriately, I assume. And it is a very nice house, a beautiful house, as are the other houses around it. But there is a small piece that I can see between from the setbacks. When I build my house, that I'll be able to see the bay. And this is going to interfere with that view. I would also say that I would agree with Mr. Burke in terms of the volume. Above a whisper, I have to say that this I have been around the one that is on top of the house now in substantial winds, and it is very loud. I appreciate that the Flexera folks had indicated that things didn't go as they had essentially planned with the windmill originally, and that's why they're back here. And I have to say, the volume, this, you know, really the impact to the sound, the community itself, for someone who is looking onto the property. I don't know who has supported the property, and perhaps it's those who live on the beach, and therefore this will not interfere with either of their view or when they're sitting out on their beach themselves and able to hear the nature in front of them. But again, I own the property in front of their house, and this will have a substantial impact on, I believe, the value of my property and the use and enjoyment, as well as the character of this community. I think that this is a nature preserve. It is a beach area. And one of the reasons I did come tonight, which I appreciate the clarification, I also did not know whether we were talking about one windmill or two. Mm-hmm. I think that you asked the question about whether it was on the front of the house, whether it would make a difference. If this will cast a shadow down onto the beach, because they're right on the beach. So this is between the two houses, and the shadow will cast. If it were in the front of their house and it was a shorter pole, it would cast on their house, presumably, but not in the setback. So I appreciate the opportunity to express my views.
Would you have a problem with it being in front of the house?
To be quite honest, I want to know more about everything, because I didn't really even have enough information, accurate information, to formulate my objections, mm-hmm. other than the ones I have here. Even you've heard tonight in the last 20 minutes how high it is, you know, has moved around a lot. And I think that we, as adjacent landowners and neighboring landowners, have the right to know exactly what's being put up, the height of it, and the real noise impact to this community. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'll give your come on. Sure.
As far as the shadow being cast, I don't think anybody actually went to the beach and to check this out. But there's a large berm in front of between the King's property and the beach. And I, you know, usually it's 1.5 times the height of the structure that it casts a shadow, depending on exactly where the position of the windmill is. So at any time, I don't believe it could cast a shadow beyond the other side of the berm. So it doesn't actually get to the beach. Also, if you stand in front of the King's property, you can't see the beach because of this berm. And if you were to get a view of the bay, you would actually have to have your observation area almost into your setbacks to be able to get a view because of the angle of the houses. On the other side of the house, you have trees that are growing that block the view. You have three-story buildings everywhere. So, as far as being able to effectively get any type of decent view is going to be very difficult. So I kind of question the true effects on the view. If you do get any view, it's going to be extremely small. And again, you know, you would have to really have it to the side. And again, the shading, I don't understand, because it really, first off, if I was a sunbather and there was some shade there, I'd probably like it, but other people just moved to the side 6 feet. But the bottom line is, that's a very large berm. You cannot see the bay standing in front of their house looking back. Now, as far as the setbacks, we did check the setbacks. We don't install anything unless we know where we're installing it. And the edge of the foundation is a minimum of 2 foot back from the property line, which makes the pole a minimum of center of the pole 3.5 foot back, and that's minimal. So we know that we're on the King's property. I can't do any more than take measurements, and that was our concern there. Noise, there was and some vibration. There was some noise from the generator. New generators are are actually en route to us now. The brake has been on that windmill for a while now so that it doesn't spin fast enough for to get even loud, the rear brakes out. So at least I believe they're still on. So the correct generators that are installed do not make that ticking noise. And that's what it is a bit of a tick, 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 tick. As far as the blades are concerned, you know, it is what we state. You know, you get a little bit of a, when the air brakes first come out and when they first, as they're starting to go in, you get a little bit of air noise, and then that's it. They're very quiet at below 30 miles an hour, as the air brakes come out at 30 miles an hour. And as far as the obstruction of view, again, we kept the height of the windmill basically the same. And that was the whole essence of this move. And so as far as view obstruction, there isn't a whole lot of difference, truly.
Mr. Light, I recall, or I don't recall in your testimony, I do recall you addressing primarily the standards for the granting of a special use exception. However, I don't recall you addressing the standards of granting a variance as Mr. Burke did in his objection. Can you address those standards for us?
The standards as far as basically
for granting a variance, are you familiar with those?
Not as much as I should be.
Okay, here's a copy. Okay. I'd like to have that back when you're finished, but it's okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You have to meet all five standards.
Basically under your uniqueness, the key here is that we're attempting to utilize our wind resource. And in order to effectively use that wind resource, we determined that the windmills, as stated by the manufacturer, were not necessarily appropriate to be installed on the roof of any building. And we actually have been back to the manufacturer multiple times. So that is the purpose of actually having the necessity to move it to a pole mount. In assessing the property, it was determined that was the best location to utilize the wind resource, and it was the best location as far as the utility use of the property by the Keens. So the hardship is created basically through the windmill manufacturer's inability to truly live up to their specifications of a roof mount system. And in order for us to take care of the Keens, we determined that a pole mount was the best alternative. Now, we have actually had this at the Dunham location, but we did, when we obtained that variance, we also had a variance for a pole mount. So that was not an issue to move it from the roof to the pole mount as it is here. So that's really what's happening there. As far as affecting the use of the property or adjacent properties, we see no effect on any of those usages. We certainly aren't casting any more shadow than what the windmill did originally. And what little bit of possible view you could get would have to basically be built on a setback to be able to gain that because of the angles of the buildings. Cannot otherwise be developed. Basically, there wasn't another place on that property where we wouldn't have to come for another variance. So just because, or for exception use, because we basically had a roof mount, and to go to a pole mount anywhere, we would have had to do that.
This was also the most feasible location on the property to bring in cranes, auger trucks, and the concrete truck as well.
And all that had to be taken into account. In fact, the neighbor was very kind to allow us to use his driveway to be able to do that. it was almost, if not impossible, well, basically impossible to get to the front. The back, we still would have, or the front of the house, rather, towards the road, we still would have had to come to for a special use exception. So that actually is a very inobtrusive location all the way around when we looked at that application.
As we mentioned earlier, the creator of the hardship was the manufacturer who was disingenuous about the turbine being capable of sustaining roof mounting.
But I think on the contrary, the county would suggest that the hardship or the difficulty would be on the owner for placing a windmill.
Well, but it is, we see it as our responsibility to take care of our customer. And the fact that we were dealt these cards was not in our control. And in fact, we have the actual manufacturer showing up on the 13th to go through. We have five of these installed now, and they're going to go through every one of them, which we demanded to make sure that there are no issues with these windmills. And so, as one of the company owners, it's my responsibility to make sure our customers are taken care of, and that when we state data, which we're giving from by the manufacturers, that it's correct. And so, you know, that information, that it wasn't correct, becomes our responsibility to try to render that situation to an acceptable condition. And so, if everything worked out the way it should have from the manufacturer, there wouldn't be a hardship. So truly, that's kind of a downward spiral from the manufacturer. So we do, I do believe, that the hardship is not generated by the Keens. It was actually generated by the manufacturer, and we're trying to fix that situation. As far as the natural character of the neighborhood, I have to argue that the gentleman who was up here before, when he placed those barriers around that property, certainly didn't have any issue with affecting the essential character of the neighborhood. Nor do individuals that have utility poles installed of various sizes. They're anywhere from telephone poles to any various types of telephone poles and what are the ones that have the ladder steps? There's all kinds of towers, I say, that are in there that actually have
antennas
on them.
And the many letters of support for the community certainly show that they do not feel that it will negatively alter the effect, have an adverse effect upon the neighborhood.
And these are neighbors on both sides and across the street, in and around within a quarter of a mile of that property. We've had nothing but, I haven't heard any negative effects from any sunbathers. I've been out there numerous times. Don't believe the Keens have heard anything. They walk the neighborhood all the time. There's been nothing but solid interest of people walking by and watching this. And I haven't heard one negative complaint. And I believe it actually adds to the character of the neighborhood.
I'd like to, for the benefit of both opposition and applicant, this is a situation where, these are emotions and feelings that you don't feel that it would adversely affect, and neither of you have produced professional opinions, which I would strongly recommend that in the future that you may.
Correct. But if you take a look at the adverse effect of any property around it, I mean, we haven't, again, had anybody state that they felt that there was an adverse effect. As far as the utility use, it does not affect. That doesn't have any effect on any utility use of any property that's adjacent to or surrounding this property. As far as shading, I mean, that's just out there somewhere. So basically I think we're within, the true nature of applying for and receiving a favorable vote on a conditional use, because we met all those factors. We went through the trouble of having an engineer look at this, design it, look at the, you know, he looked at all the drawings of the final design, approved those. We did have a plot plan with the application. I think we've pretty much.
You have a copy of that plot plan you can share with us?
I do not have one with me. We did place it with, it was with the application. But I do not have one with me. Minimum variances.
In order to get the equipment in, as I stated, this was the minimal distance we could reasonably put it from the home and still allow for proper pathway and workspace around it with the foundation.
Yeah, the other side of the building was very inaccessible. We would have to take trees down. And we, again, would have been here for the exact same variance, basically. If you take a look at the complaint of affecting the neighborhood's view or value, just take a look at this. I mean, that just speaks for itself that we have a gentleman up here talking about the aesthetics of the neighborhood, and then this is done.
Understandably, but then that would be our opinion.
Yes, and then also, if you take a look at the pictures of the other buildings, you have beautiful three-story buildings, and such as the Keens and their neighbors, and then you have a combination of trailers on pilings and poles. So effectively changing that air or that view of the neighborhood, I think we're actually, and I'm sure we're actually adding to it. So,
what was the height of the antenna on the roof from the ground up? You have that from what it originally was?
Well, there was no antenna on this pole.
No. That windmill on top of the roof, where it mounted the first time. What was the height of that?
That's it's 9 foot above the peak of the roof, which is...
what's it, 40?
You know, it's 42.
40.
Sir, you can't testify.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The peak of that being sworn in.
Sorry about that. But the peak of the roof, I can't tell you for sure, but I believe it is in that 43, 45-foot range.
So really not much difference in height.
There isn't. We purposely set this pole so it mimicked within a foot, about a foot higher than the peak of the roof. And that was done on purpose.
Perspective-wise, the pole you see in the picture is about in line with the peak of the roof. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, you're looking perhaps a foot higher.
And see, the issue here is also, we have a lot of installations going on, and I'm standing before you, and I wasn't there when this pole was actually installed. It was installed by our installers and contractors. We know, we verified that it is definitely 10.5 foot below grade, 3 foot in diameter. The edge of the foundation is...
Mr. Lay, you've gone well beyond Mr. Mills' question.
I'm sorry. But I can assure you again that we do not change the utility use of any property, save, you know, you might be able to get an angle where you could see a few inches of the bay. Shadows, I don't understand that. And this is you have a minimum variance. Variance.
I believe he already addressed that.
That.
I believe
yes.
He already addressed that.
Okay.
Can I have that back, please?
Okay.
We can get you a copy.
Well, actually, I'm going to memorize it for next time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Right, hearing no further.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to state that the office did receive two letters in opposition.
Two letters
from homeowners, it just says.
Can you summarize those?
Well, it's pretty long, but.
Just in general, they're
just
reasons. It's oversized, destroys the character, and impacts the quality of the beach community. The one does, and the other one is the size also, and the setback, and the wildlife it affects, and diminishes the effectiveness of the setbacks. Basically, that's That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Chair, we entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion. We table case number 10,434 to our next regular meeting.
Second. Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we table case number 10,434 until our next regular meeting on July the 20th. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion's carried. Case will be tabled until our next regular meeting. Okay.
Case number 10,000.